all the time. 30 years I'm facing it and dealing with this, and I became normal. I became normal, more or less. Anyway, so three places: New York. A second place is, of course, Jerusalem, and a third place is Krakow during the Jewish Culture Festival. So when we take around, take a look around, you'll see the phenomenal, phenomenal people. Of course, we have a brilliant guest, an honorable guest, Professor Edwin Seriously, and Professor Dan Bahati sitting over here. And in the second row, we have Jeff Warshaw, we have Patrick Farrell, we have where is Frank London? He left. We have finally somewhere over there, Deborah Strauss, who just arrived with Frank London, and Aaron Alexander is somewhere. What's a place! And you know what? I'm proud because partly I've created it. Anyway, we have a great, great pleasure. Oh, over here is Frank London, the ghost of Krakow, a guest and ghost. Today, the lecture of Professor Seriously is extremely important for all of us because Professor Seriously is going to compare and basically speak about the Hatikva, which is the, you know, anthem of Israel, but also of Poland. And we need Hatikva, we need a hope in this crazy world. World was always crazy, but people usually, you know, lose Hatikva. We will never, ever will lose Hatikva. We are full of Hatikva. So with Hatikva for the next year and the next years, because this is only 30 festival, and hopefully we'll meet during that 330th anniversary of the festival, I'm thrilled, and I want to thank you again, Professor Seriously, for coming here. It's a great, great pleasure.
Thank you.
An honor.
Thank you. Thank you so
Professor
much.
Seriously.
Thank you, Janusz, for this kind presentation, as usual. So I will go straight to the topic because we need to cover a lot of ground. And I, as usual, I try to leave some... some minutes for questions. I'm doing something wrong? Near microphone? Usually it's out. Okay. Following on what we talked yesterday. So yesterday we tried to cover the whole of 70 years or 100 years actually of Israeli music in 1 hour and 15 minutes. That wasn't easy. But I hope you enjoyed. Thank you. That's okay. No. That's okay. So today we're going to talk about one song. You may think, wow, talking 1 hour and 50 minutes about one song, that will be quite a task. However, it is not. 1 hour and 50 minutes is not nearly enough to start talking about this song. So much there is to say about it. And I have a few surprises for you, for the local public. Let me tell you that following up on what we talked yesterday about education, about constructing a musical culture for children in the new country, that one of the triggers for me to write about the Tikva was this publication 2010 by the Ministry of Education of Israel. This is the official publication that was prepared in order to teach the Israeli kids in the schools about their national anthem. And I had a lot to say about this publication, but really a lot. So some of what I'm going to say now is my reaction, in a way, to this publication, which has its merits, of course, but also has a lot that was left out, regretfully, or that it was not said accurately. Now, for me, a tikva is a folk song. You may think it's an anthem, but basically, It is a folk song. It was born as a folk song. It was transmitted as a folk song. And only little by little, it became what we know today, the anthem of a state. We are going to talk about individual initiative and inspiration. A folk song, even though it's a song of the people, starts always from one individual, or two individuals in this case, music and text. Then I always teach my students that culture is about sometimes coincidental encounters. We always think about culture as something very structured, coming from up, down. And I see culture also in its coincidental, fortuitous encounters. We have a tikva in transmission, collective transmission, in various forms. We are going to see some of them. Oral transmission, written transmission, electronic transmission. And we have also processes of canonization. How a song that was so local, so particular, becomes the song of a nation. That's a very interesting process. And finally, we'll talk about the deconstruction of the song. What do I mean by this? When the song is up there as representing a nation, it is also open to different readings, to quotations, to chopping it up into its little parts, to using it against Israel, as I will show you in one of my last examples. So basically, once a folk song is out there, it can be used and reused and remake and reshape and reinterpreted in various forms. So in honor of you, I went to consult Professor Wikipedia in Polish, because that's where I thought that if you, as Polish citizens, would like to know something about a tikva, you will go to Wikipedia, not to Edwin Cerusi. Isn't that truth? Yeah. Everybody goes to Wikipedia. So Professor Wikipedia sometimes has accurate information, but sometimes not. By the way, I translated this today. I did all this occur to me this morning, that I will see what is written in Polish about a tikva before I say something here. So you have the Polish and the English translation of Professor Google, okay, which is amazingly accurate, I have to say. It's just the algorithm is incredible. So we have the history of a tikva, which is quite correct, as you will see. You have incorrect information. During the first Zionist Congress in Basel, it became the anthem of the World Zionist Organization. That's not true at all, as we will show. And the music was written by Samuel Cohen, Shmuel Cohen from Moldova. That's not true either. Only part of it is true. And then we have the what is true that many people do not know, that officially a tikva is the anthem of Israel since 2004. Until then, it was just common practice. The Knesset passed a law, and I will tell you later on why I think that in 2004 only the Knesset had the initiative of passing this law. And also, that you see the interpretation of the text says that it is the hope of creating an independent and free state in the land of Israel. Well, a tikva doesn't speak about a state, certainly not about an independent state. It speaks about Jews gathering back in Zion to create some autonomic entity that is not defined as a national state as we understand it today. Then about the music, which is, of course, for me, the best. By the way, let me go back. Yeah. In the history, Naftali Herz Himber was born in Galicia. That's very important, But he wasn't born in Poland of today. He was born in the previous empire, and therefore he was born right down the road here, no, near Lvov. That's where the Żłochowa. Do I say that correctly? Żłochowa. Okay. Żłochowa. Okay. I will never speak Polish. I will never. My Polish will always be bad. But never mind. Okay. I agree with all of you. So Imber is from around the neighborhood. He came from this part of the world, this area. And the Polish writers of Wikipedia, you know, point out they don't write Ukraine, okay? They write Galicia, which is okay, fine with me. Once a Galicianer, always a Galicianer. That's what I have an uncle, he called me a Galicianer, even though I am Egyptian, simply because I used to negotiate everything. He was Polish. And here you have the whole quotations. All this is taken, all this information taken from the work of a very important Jewish musicologist called Avraham Tzvi Edelson, who in the introduction to one of his volumes provides a series of melodies that are similar to the melody of a tikva. But the Polish editors added something that Edelson does not mention, and this is a Pod Krakowiem. I hope I'm writing this. It's a song from Krakow, but believe me, I even don't waste your time praying to you this song because it has nothing to do with the melody of a tikva. About all the rest of this music that is mentioned here, I will talk and you will listen this in 1 second. And then finally about the music, they say, of course, everybody believes or says that it is connected to the Moldau by Smetana, that is based on the same theme. It's not based on the same theme, as I will show. And the final phrase, where did Cohen know this melody? The prototype of the Vladva, that is of the Moldau, is unknown. Well, we know exactly how all this happens, okay? So if some of you want to update the professor Wikipedia in Polish, I will be glad to give you all the materials and put the record straight. So we have the poet. This man was a very peculiar individual. The prototype of the poet. He was always without a job and most of the time drunk. So, he wrote a lot of national poetry in modern Hebrew. He also wrote in other languages, Yiddish too. But what's important for us and interesting is that the only manuscript copy we have of a tikva in his handwriting is in the National Library in Israel, and it's on a medical form from a hospital in New York. So at the end of his days, he was very sick in New York, and he was all the time in the hospitals, and one of his best friends was a very rich insurance agent that promised Imber that when he died, he will have a proper burial in New York, like if he was a rich man. But for that, he wants a present from Imber, write me a song. So he wrote him a tikva on the back of the medical record and gave that to this insurance agent who had no idea that the song was written 30 years before. But we have a manuscript of Imber. And Imber started to write the poem in different stages. He started here in Galicia, and then he came to Palestine where he settled. When he was settling in Palestine, part of his way of living was to go from one Jewish settlement to the other, reciting his poetry. So in 1982, he read, among other events, a tikva to the farmers in Rishon LeZion. Rishon LeZion was one of the very first Zionist settlements in Israel. And here you have the famous orchestra. This is the first Israeli orchestra ever founded of the citizens of Rishon LeZion. So there, You have also the Polish translations of Tikva. There are two. And I think it's about time to listen to the song. You don't have to stand every time I'm playing, okay? Just sit down. You can stand the last time. The last time you can stand, okay? Why? Sorry about that. This for the first time today, and I think it sounds wonderful. It's a great Polish song, isn't it? Yeah. Ah, sounds like if it was written in this language. What is interesting, also technologically, I won't go into the analysis of what these people did, but they cut three different versions of a Tikva and they work it together electronically. And they put the words on top of that. But that's technicalities. You see that the whole anthem has only two stanzas out of nine. The poem has nine stanzas. And the other seven stanzas are very meaningful in terms of their contents, particularly in terms of the biblical connotations that Imber uses that. And also important that these words, as you have them now here, these are the official words, these two stanzas, are not the ones he wrote exactly, but they were changed gradually by the people. Some of it was changed by a very famous music teacher at the Gymnasia Herzliya, the most important school in Tel Aviv, who found that what Imber wrote was not good for the modern Hebrew speakers, so he changed some of the words, and some of the other words we don't know who changed it, but that's how it became the practice. I won't go into all these details. Everything is written, I will forward to you through the festival all my writings about Tikva so you can read that with more. Today we want to hear more. 1886, Tikva is published for the first time in Jerusalem. Very rare printing, since at the time there was not much of a printing activities in Jerusalem. Certainly not of a modern Hebrew collection of poems. So this was quite a revolutionary print in Jerusalem, where most of the printing was of religious literature, not modern Hebrew literature. Now, we know exactly how the song came into being. Why do we know? Because the person who did the work wrote a memoir, and he wrote exactly when he did it, how he did it, and why he did it. So Shmuel Cohen, he published in 1937. I won't go into all the details. And what he writes is that we could not imagine turning a Tikva into a national anthem. Even after he put the words to the melody, He didn't believe that this was going to be the anthem. There was a famous song at the time called Mishmar Yarden, the watch of the Jordan. And that was what the settlers of Israel in those years, we are talking about in 1880s, thought as going to be the national anthem. So let's listen a few bars from this beautiful song, a recording by Nechama Hendel, great singer of Israel. Sorry.
Halea yarden, halea zol, yehe mugalecha, alei gdotecha shtof vagol, cheleat arececha, kekol ram harem kol, bahamon beibecha, mesilat zion lanu sol, nachua.
The song by Avraham Tzvi Edelson, the great Jewish musicologist, he composed the song, and the song was very, very famous and sung like an anthem by these farmers in the 1880s. So Shmuel Cohen's testimony, he says exactly with all the details, 1887, my old brother Tzvi tried to plant wheat on the soil of the Moshava, Yesud Amala. In those days, Imber was in Rosh Pina. He gave his brother the collection of the songs that I show you that was printed a year before. And the brother sent that to Moldavia, to Shmuel Cohen, who then, after a short time, came to Palestine. And already in Maramureș, we used to sing in the choir the Romanian song, Heish Cea, right, left. And I will play for you the song. This is the refrain of a very famous Moldavian-Romanian song. And when he came to Rishon LeZion in 1888, and I saw that a tikva was not sung, so people did not sing a tikva, I was the first one to start singing a tikva with this foreign melody, with this Romanian melody. So here you have the exact testimony of how the song came into being, given by the author. So in 1888, we have the setting of the text to the melody. At that time, they sang all the stanzas. The 9 stanzas were sung, not only 2. And the song, the original Moldavian song, speaks about a cart with an oxen. And in fact, I learned from the Romanian musicologist that also these words in Romanian are new words to the pre-existing melody, and these words speak with nostalgia about the life before the coming of the locomotives. So this is a nostalgia song in the face of modernity, which is very funny when you think about the tikva looking forward. So you know what? I won't play you this version. I will play you something better. The Romanian version, as sung by one of the immigrants of the beginning of the 20th century who knew the song from Moldavia. And this is from a mythical TV Israeli program called Sharti Laharzi. I sang you my land. The first program, 1972, Israeli TV. And you will hear the original song as was remembered by this man. This is an incredible document from the Israeli TV. I should thank here Dan Almagor and Eliyahu Cohen, my two mentors, teachers, amazing researchers of the Hebrew song.
Hey, ferrate prin vagoane îndesate, cu capetele sparte, nemâncat și de derat. De aceea nu ne voi, își vânau carul cu boi. Ăștia, ăștia, ăștia.
It is amazing how Israel looked only 45 years ago. Unbelievable. It's a different country today. Isn't that, Janos? Yeah. How a song spreads, my friend, a song without internet, without YouTube, can spread like fire on a dry field. Only 3 or 4 years after Atikva was conceived, this man, David Shuv, Rabbi Moshe David Shuv from Rosh Pina, arrives to Breslau for fundraising on behalf of the Jewish settlement in Palestine. That was called in good Hebrew Shnorerai. That was not invented in the 20th century, it started early on. And in one of his lectures, a young cantor, okay, his name was Friedland from Breslau, heard the songs, because all these envoys from Palestine who came to raise money for the national movement gave a speech, asked for money, and then taught songs. So the earliest Israeli songs were already Israeli, or songs of the Yishuv, were known in Europe 1 or 2 years after they were conceived, invented here. And sometimes songs, Zionist songs invented in Europe, make their way to Palestine to them. So this connection between Palestine and Europe was very strong. And Mr. Friedland, who is of course a modern cantor, a cantor who is versed in music, made an oral transcription of the song. He was an ethnomusicologist, as I am, and he arranged this for voice and piano. He picked up 4 Hebrew songs, Atikva is one of them, and the whole booklet is called 4 Syrian Songs. Now, why Syria? Because at that time, Palestine was considered part of Greater Syria, and therefore, this orientalistic name of 4 Syrian songs. These are 4 Hebrew songs from Palestine that he learned. And this is the first record we have of the music of Atikva. In 1902, believe it or not, here in your country, in Warsaw, Atikva is recorded for the first time. Probably in the record of the gramophone company says Cantor Kipnis. And I think this must be Cantor Menachem Kipnis, the legendary folklorist, pioneer photographer, humorist, and the cantor of the, I'm afraid to say this name, Tromaji Synagogue in Warsaw. My friends, I don't have, and nobody has a copy of this recording. We know this only from the catalog of the gramophone company. Okay? We will put a very big price. I have to convince the president of Israel to put $10,000 to whoever finds a copy of this record. We still don't have it. The record was, the records, when a song is recorded, my friends, its dissemination is massive and fast. At that time, people did not own these machines. The machines were owned by institutions. And one of the most important institutions that owned these machines were cafes. People went to the cafe and the records were played on the cafe. People who could hear Atikva, at the time, just another Hebrew folk song. And here you have also from Lvov, the Yiddish theater of Lvov, they also recorded this. Only in 1903, in the 6th Zionist concert in Basel, Atikva was sung for the first time. Why? Because this is the Congress where the motion to create the state, the Jewish state in Uganda, was put forward. There was a big fight between the Ugandians and the Palestinians. There are Zionists who are Palestinians. And at the end of the Congress, It was not in the protocol. The Palestinians got up and sang a tikva. And by this force of their singing and their enthusiasm, the song became what we know is today. And it wiped away, I may be exaggerating a little bit, but it, in a way, symbolically, took out any possibility of having the Jewish state in Uganda, Argentina, or any other place. So powerful was, and we have accounts of the people who were there that tell the story of how they rose impromptu and they sang the anthem. And then in 1905, it was already a fait accompli, after 2 years, that the Congress, the Zionist Congress, has to finish with the song. In 1933, it was recognized as the anthem of the State of Israel. Of the Zionist movement, of the World Zionist Organization, not of the State of Israel. Now, as always happens with national anthems, not everybody agree with the same idea of having this song as an anthem. There were other suggestions. Some suggestion says the melody is fine, let's put a new text. What was the most obvious text? Shir HaMaalot, Psalm 126, the psalm of longing of the people of Babel for the land of Israel. And here we will hear from our recordings at the National Sound Archives. Okay, if this link doesn't work, I sing it for you. Shir HaMaalot v'shuv Adonai Eichonenu Eloheinu
ke'kol min tivdah.
אז אם מעלה סקופינו ולשוננו
ראינו ושוב השמש שיבת ציון היינו כחולים אז אם מעלה סקופינו ולשוננו ראינו אז יבואו הגויים הגדיל לעשות עמנו הגדיל עלי לעשות עמנו היינו שמחים.
It's always good to have people who know that in the audience. The melody of a tikva also become parts of the Jewish liturgy, not necessarily in a secular context, but also in a religious context. What?
What was the text before
it? It's the ending of the previous prayer. It's just, yeah. Let me go back to it. Okay. So you see that the cantor, the Moroccan cantor, quotes the melody now in a religious context, but he gives that variations that are very Moroccan. I cannot go into the details, but you felt that. Now, another anthem that was proposed is the song by Bialik, Techezakna, which is set to a revolutionary Russian song, melody. This is a very old recording, which, because of its arrangement, I use it because it tells a lot of how the song was performed. This was basically the anthem of the Israel Workers Union, of the Istadrut. And I think the Russians really know how to write an anthem. The Jews put this minor melody so lower, so we needed the Russians, but it didn't win. Even though the poet, Bialik, was a much more respected poet, by all means, than Imber. Now, where does the melody come? That's what half of the article in Polish Wikipedia was talking about. Everybody wants to show that in spite of the fact that we know exactly where the melody comes, that the melody has great antiquity. I call to this in my research the narratives of antiquity. Antiquity has, in the eyes of modernity, a lot of value. The older the melody is, the more valuable it is. So, one of the earliest versions, and this is interesting, a very famous Italian melody called La Mantovana or Fuji Fuji. Let's just hear a few bars. I cannot play all the examples in their entirety, but... very well known in the 16th century. Now, how can this melody come from the Goyim? It has to come from something Jewish. So we also have some Jewish melodies, okay? Like this very famous Spanish-Portuguese melody for the dew prayer in Passover. These are the Jewish communities created by the conversos, the Jews who became Christians in Spain and then returned to Judaism in Western Europe. Amsterdam, London, Hamburg, these are the places where this melody is known.
Lech lech shalom geshem ubo be shalom tal kirah lehoshia umorid hatal ashir shirati ve'asim dibrati ve'adia sevati lezu yeshuati umyom imrati tizal katal kirah lehoshia umorid hatal kishem kebotha eshochem betochame betamir mikhael betielo
negohe. The Ashkenazim say, how come a tikva come from a Sephardic melody? It must be an Ashkenazi melody. So we have an Ashkenazi melody too. This is an Ashkenazi Igdal from London. What is interesting about this famous melody of Igdal from London is that eventually it became an Anglican church anthem. It was put to words by the church, and now it's more known in the church and among the Jews. But what would the Jews would not do in order to have their atikva based on a Jewish melody? Okay, so we have the Moldau, who everybody thinks that's where it comes from. And I will make the story very short. I'm telling you, this lecture can take a week. So to make this long story short, Smetana was part of very important part of his life. He was in Sweden. And the Swedes have a folk song that is also based on this same melodic pattern. And that's where he learned the melody that then he sold down there in the Czech Republic as truly Czech. So that's the, you don't believe that. You don't believe that I'm saying that. Yeah, I agree with you. I will skip the Moldau. You all know the Moldau. The only juicy fact to say about the Moldau in regarding to a tikva is that I remember my mom crying every time she heard the Moldau. She just cried. And in the early days of the Palestinian Broadcasting Authority in Jerusalem, which was opened in 1936, there was a big fight whether anthems will be played at the end of the broadcast. Remember, this is the British Empire, and there were two solutions. One was to play three anthems, the British anthem, which is the sovereign state at the time, the Jewish anthem, a tikva, and Biladi Biladi, the Palestinian national song. Eventually, they decided that anthems only do harm. They only put things worse. No anthems in the Palestinian Broadcasting Authority. The Jews, the Yiddish Kopf, they put the Moldau every day. They put the Moldau every day. That's how they circumvent. My friends, Atikva became the song of Jewish proudness, Jewish pride. I only have, out of hundreds of events that I can tell you when and how people describe performances of Atikva, one of them which I choose, I am sorry, I choose this because I use this presentation also for the Friends of the Hebrew University. Albert Einstein arrived to New York the first time to fundraise Schnorrerei for the Hebrew University. That was his first trip. And here you have him landing with President Weizmann, who became the first president of the state of Israel. So we have a report from the New York Times that as the bark bring him Einstein to New York to Battery Park. This is the lower part of Manhattan. The firefighters, the firefighters of New York City, okay, played in his honor a tikva and the American anthem. So you can imagine the firefighters orchestra in Battery Park playing a tikva towards the sea for Einstein, who is arriving. So this is propaganda for the Hebrew University. Now, this is one of my most important points. I already play you a tikva as a religious song. One of the earliest recordings we have from a tikva is from Istanbul. And is sung by the greatest cantor of the Ottoman Empire in its latest stages, and we have the recording. Cantor is Ishak Algazi. My big issue with the publication of the Ministry of Education of Israel is that the entire Oriental story of Atikva, how Atikva was absorbed immediately as a religious song among the Oriental Jewish communities is totally not said in that book. So let's hear Cantor Algazi. He's accompanied by a totally untuned piano and an oud. So the performance is a little bit out of tune. Come on. Okay. We will continue. I will play that for you. I know you are. 1 year after, it's recorded in Bombay. Let's see if we have more luck with the Bombay. This is the old synagogue in Bombay, an amazing recording discovered in the last few years, commercial recording. And you see, you hear, for those who understand Hebrew, that he is singing the older version before it was changed in Israel, which remained in the memory of all the singers in the diaspora. So while in Palestine the song, the text was slightly changed to adapt more to modern Hebrew, in the diaspora, it was still the old, original version of Imber. So, yes?
So, but that Bombay community, is that a community that has its roots in Iraq?
Well, yes, part of it has its root in Iraq, absolutely. Yes.
So, do you think
that you're saying Calcutta. Calcutta. Yeah, but there were also trained rabbis from Calcutta in Mumbai too, okay? And some of them were also from Cochin. I won't start now with the whole Indian Jewish story. That's Janusz for another. You know, the Indian Jewish community is fantastic. A little bit in his accent, the way he sings the pronounces the Hebrew. The music, it's a little bit baffling for me. I have to think about it, yeah. My friends, this is one of the most, from my point of view, and I'm sorry I'm going outside from the... Perhaps some of you saw this video in Yad Vashem. This is the Jewish school in Monkach. One of the most amazing recordings of Atikva right before the Holocaust. So think about all these children. It's very strong recording. Now, how do I play this? I don't know. Let's play it. Also, Atikva Anoshana. But it's interesting, they sing the first time Ayir Ba David Chana, and then Ayin Letzion Sophia. So they sing both versions. That's the only time when I heard the old and the new at the same time. Okay, go back. Now, this recording was done one day after the liberation of Bergen-Belsen. These are the survivors of the camp singing for the BBC, who comes to interview the... Now, what, besides the situation in which this recording is done, the strength of the voices is just amazing. When you think about the situation, I hope this works, because that will drive me really mad. You see... It's a miracle we have this recording, really. It's a testimony of a very impressive moment. We have amazing performances around 1947 and after 1948 with the establishment of the State of Israel. The song becomes the anthem of the Jewish people. It's recorded, performed by every single artist that of name, Jewish and also non-Jews, want to record the song. I don't know if I will have the time to play everything, but listen how Kurt Weill reinterpreted. He arranged this for the Boston Symphony with Koussevitzky for a dinner in honor of President Weizmann a little bit before the establishment of the State of Israel. I'm sorry I'm interrupting. This is a genial piece of work. This is what I'm talking about, deconstruction. So now the song, Kurt Weill couldn't take it as is, and he had to put his own self. So the melody starts from nowhere, from a totally different introduction. The harmony is very modernistic. The whole approach is a totally new reading. I think he was having great fun doing this arrangement. My friends, I have two recordings, historical recordings, hardly saved by the only recording we have of the Declaration of Independence of Israel, of Atikva. Atikva was supposed to be sung at the end of the event. When the event started and Ben-Gurion and the leaders come to the stage, the people just cannot hold it and they sing Atikva. So, and gladly, there was an amazing man called Mr. Radio, from Tel Aviv, Dr. Radio, with his very primitive equipment, and he recorded this moment. It's the Tel Aviv Museum, the morning of May 15, 1948. The second recording is from the ending, and I will play you the ending of the recording. We don't have time. This is already with some instrumental accompaniment, but for those who understand Hebrew and those who do not understand, just listen what Ben-Gurion has to say after the anthem is played. His voice was recorded too. I will jump to the end. Kama Medinat Israel, Tama Yeshiva Zot. Like this is the meeting of the organizing of the festival here. The State of Israel came into being. This meeting is adjourned. My friends, I don't have time now to mess around with you with these songs. I have some work to do. That's what he's saying, okay? No emotion, no, it's amazing, you know, it's, okay. How can we do without Al Jolson? This is one of the recordings after the Declaration of Independence. And he sings very interestingly. I'm sorry I'm running fast, but this is an amazing recording. He sings that in Ashkenazi pronunciation, okay, Tikva Seinu, and this is interesting. We will jump Richard Tucker because we don't have time. However, many cantors release a Tikva as a cantorial piece. Again, I want to stress this tension between the secularity and the sacredness of this song and the way it is interpreted by cantors versus other singers, like this one, whom you probably know. And this is another moment, another male.
Before it was fashion.
This is, oh my gosh, no. Sorry. Barbara Streisand, in an intercontinental broadcast on the birthday party of Golda Meir. There is a big party in Los Angeles, and she's singing her as a present, her own version of Hatikva. This was a time where there weren't many intercontinental broadcasts, and I hope that you enjoy. I will be moving fast forward.
Before it was fashionable for ladies to be in positions of importance and responsibility, there was a woman who just went out and did her thing. And by doing it, she ended up being one of the most admired, respected, and beloved women of this century.
Okay.
In Israel, we have sent our cameras to the home of the...
I'm sorry, I'm running. Golda is talking to her on the phone, okay?
Transition from prime minister to a full-time mother and housewife.
Oh, it isn't as good as all that.
It's not?
No, they don't let me.
Well, the country needs you. The world needs you.
Oh, well, look.
How do you manage all these years to have so much energy? Did you take vitamins or a special
diet?
To go jogging every morning?
No, never.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, you can find it in YouTube.
Of hope
just
and light.
Put Barbara Streisand and Tikva and you will have it.
So tonight, let us light candles on both sides of the world in the hope that people everywhere will be inspired to work for peace and love and the betterment of all men.
This is Hollywood. So, if you are a Hollywood star, you remain a Hollywood star even when you sing an anthem. Hatikva is, as we heard, recorded or translated into almost every possible Jewish language, including Polish, as we heard, but also in Amharic, in Ethiopian, and in Judeo-Spanish. We don't have time to hear all this. But the first translation of Judeo-Spanish of Hatikva, 1904, in a journal in Judeo-Spanish in Saloniki, in Greece, we already have a translation from that time. Now, I will play you this amazing performance. This is Hatikva as an Israeli pop song. So, talking about the construction, the two greatest artists of the Israeli Oriental pop song that I talked yesterday a little bit. So here you have an example. Sarit Haddad and Kobi Oz, amazing performance. Now see which musical changes, those of you who are musicians or musicologists, how they transform this into an Oriental song, into an Oriental Israeli pop song. Doesn't want to work. Sorry. Can I? What? No. The problem, Janosch, is that this is programmed in my computer and my. Oh, really? Oh my gosh! How do? So this becomes a ballad, a truly Israeli sweet ballad. And this is a magnificent deconstruction of the anthem. I'm sorry, but you can hear Sarit. Also, this is available in YouTube. There are covers of Atikva by the most bizarre artists, okay? Just a few bars of this funky version by...
Nefesh Yehudi Omiya Ulfate Mizrach Kadima Ayin Letzion Sofia
etc. You got the rest. Atikva is a bone of contention. One of the most famous events is when Chief Justice of Israel, who is from Arab descent, he stood up for the anthem, but he didn't sing it. And this was a cause for a great public scandal. Now, a dark reading of Atikva. I won't add any words, you just listen to this. My friends, this may be a little bit uncomfortable, but if you are a scholar, you have to contend with all the interpretations of the same object. Music can unite peoples, and music can be a weapon against. So what strikes me in this video is the total internalization of Israeli culture by the Palestinians. Not only he sings that amazingly correctly, and even I would say with the sort of the emotion that his text raises on him, but also it shows how much the Palestinians have become part of Israel. That they can use the symbols in such a sophisticated way as counter-propaganda. You may disagree with me. We will end with what I think is the most fabulous performance of Atikva. This is our great Leonard Bernstein. The celebratory concert in our university at the Hebrew University, Mons Corpus, July 1967, immediately after the Six-Day War. Bernstein came for a series of concerts, improvised on the spot with the Israel Philharmonic. Regretfully, I don't have the very original video. I have a copy of the video that someone took when it was broadcast in the TV. I'll show you a few scenes and then play you the recording. I hope this is the reel of the recording. Someone record that from the TV. Bernstein dressed like an Indian guru or something like that. This is the Mons Corpus. So let me play you the recording from the long play that was issued on the occasion after the concert to have a good sound. And with this we will end. Pay attention to Bernstein's interpretation. Now Atikva becomes a symphony by Mahler. Sorry. Janosz, make it work. This is the slowest tempo ever. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I am willing to take a few questions. Doctor, so there is a microphone, please speak to the microphone.
Only questions. No commentaries. No argues. Questions. Short.
Don't be so,
straight to the point.
No, don't be so.
I'm sorry.
If they want a commentary, let the people comment. We have 7 minutes left, so I have here my...
Okay, you can make it 7 minutes. Six and a half.
You have eight minutes. 8 minutes.
Okay. Just two questions.
Yes, sir.
The first one is, the Haktivah was adopted as a secular anthem and not for religious purposes of the Jewish nation. And the second one, has there any other... anthem being played more often than in any other part of the world than the Haktivah?
I don't understand. Any anthems?
Well, the Haktivah has been played by various artists all over the... As you've seen from your video. Is there any other national anthem being played?
Oh, yeah. Sir, the issue of national anthems is a whole issue in musicology. There is not a single national anthem that I know that was not, first of all, contested. There is someone always who doesn't like the anthem and want to change the text, want to change the melody, want to change the orchestration, the performance. Then every artist, if you just take the American anthem that is performed in every football game, basketball game, etc., by different singers, and everybody does that totally different. Sometimes they tear the song apart. Okay, so therefore, that's a common phenomenon in all anthems of the world, particularly the deconstruction. Rock bands who destroy the anthem in a sense to go against the nationalist tendencies, etc., because the anthem is the ultimate sonic symbol of the nation. So as a symbol, if you want to throw the nation away, just throw the anthem away. By the way, I didn't speak about the movie quotations of Haktivah. There are hundreds, and not always is the entire song. Sometimes you only have di-ra-ri-ra-ri. That's it. And you immediately catch that this is a quotation. So the anthem can also be, as I said before, chopped down to its motifs and be quoted. Yeah, definitely. It's not unique at all. It's not unique at all. I didn't say, actually I forgot, but because I promise you, so your question gives me the opportunity to say that in 2004, that was one of the first real right-wing governments of Israel. And voices are raised all the time in Israel, particularly by the Arab citizens, that they say, we are citizens of the state. We are 21% of the population. We want a national anthem that represents us, something more universal. For us, these 2,000 years, that don't mean anything. So because there is this latent fear that somehow, sometime in the future, the anthem may be changed, the wording or the melody or the entire song, then the right-wing parties went on to legislate so that now it's a law, and if you want to change it, you will have to change the law. Not that the law cannot be changed, but it's more difficult. So is this contemporary anxiety of the Israeli right-wing, who is in power now for too many years, but still... no matter how many years it's in power, it always fears that the left will change something in the country, even though they know that the left had no chance of changing anything. So this is why, in my opinion, 2004 was also the peak of the second Intifada. There was a lot of anxiety in Israel. The anthem had to be canonized by state law. So this is why only in 2004. I say this because the power of a song doesn't need legislation. When you legislate something, you enforce it. When everybody sings the song with great patriotism and proudness without any law, that has more power. So I think the legislation actually took off power from Haktivah. Took off power from Haktivah. But... you know, never mind. It's a law and people sing it. And yes. You don't agree with me, but we'll talk later on. Yeah. Any other? You can also make a comment.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 5 more minutes. My friends, if not, I wish you a great continuation of the festival. Oh, there is a question. Yeah,
very, very simple question. So the Algazi recording, that was a production of your center, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Yeah, well, it's not a production of my... It's my production, but okay. It's not of the center.
Okay.
It's of Renanot, the Institute for Jewish Music.
Okay.
It's and with all the Algazi recordings.
Right.
And since then, I discovered earlier Oriental recordings since then. It was widely recorded. By the way, I gave an entire lecture in Jerusalem about Atikva in prayer books. Okay? Atikva was printed in prayer books at the end, because the people used to sing it at the end of the prayer. So this is also very interesting in Istanbul, in Saloniki, in Baghdad, you know, you name it. So it became part of the poetical religious canon in a way.
And you said that these recordings will be available on the festival website.
Yes. I always make my presentations available on the... And besides, Jeff, you know how to write to me, and I will happily send the files, they are to be shared, not to be, absolutely. Yes. You see, all of the sudden, you say no comments now.
I didn't say
that. Yeah, okay. Yes.
When did this change to Hatikva Bat Shnot Alpayim? When did that make the change?
It happened, as I said, in the... And the Herzliya Gymnasium by Krachevsky, the music teacher, Hanina Krachevsky. Yeah, he changed it. He made an arrangement for the choir of the Gymnasia. By the way, we have the original manuscript notes, okay, in the National Library, and he changed it to Tikva Bat Shnot Alpaim instead of Ayir Bat David Hana. Yes.
Czy Palestyńczycy...
Now, do Palestinians...
Palestinians people...
mają jakąś swoją pieśń, którą uważają za wiążącą ich etnicznie w Izraelu.
Wiążącą ich etnicznie w Izraelu?
To znaczy, że to jest ich pieśń.
O! I think a lot. The question was: do the Palestinian people have any song or whatever which connect them in the air?
I don't know if the Palestinians have an anthem, a national anthem?
Something like that.
Yes, of course. Biladi, biladi.
Which express their connection
biladi,
to
biladi,
the...
my homeland, or my, and it's a very well-known song. With the, it has exactly the. The same power that the Tikva has among Palestinians. It's played on the Palestinian radio, Palestinian TV, and the broadcast with this song. It's very well known. And it has many covers by rappers, by rock bands, you name it too. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Ja lepiej się czuję w języku polskim, dlatego poproszę pana.
Ja też się lepiej czuję w języku polskim. Wstań pan, mów pan po angielsku. Co się pan będziesz łamał? No, go ahead, cicho, Irenko.
I have one proposition.
Exactly.
Po angielsku mówię po angielsku, okej. Okay.
Hatikva, I have a proposition. We, everybody stay and sing these poems. I have one souvenir for you.
Wow.
Inside is...
Thank you.
...words.
Wow.
And...
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
A odnośnie tego, co pan powiedział, actually...
Thank you. I think we run out of time. I just want to keep the timing of the festival so you can go to the coming event.
I think this is
tomorrow is Poland in Israeli music. The music of Moshe Wilenski, the whole program dedicated to him, and I promise you that you will enjoy it. This will be the most Polish of the three lectures. Thank you very much.
God be with you till we meet again. No.